translation, Canto 5, Chapter 11, Text Number 1. The Brahmin Jadabharat said, "My dear king, although you are not at all experienced, you are trying to speak like a very experienced man. Consequently, you cannot be considered an experienced person. An experienced person does not speak the way you are speaking about the relationship between a master and a servant, or about material pains and pleasures. These are simply external activities. Any advanced, experienced man considers the absolute truth. Considering the absolute truth does not talk in this way." Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Krishna similarly chastised Arjuna, "Asochyan anvasochastvam pragna vadamscha bhashashe." While speaking learned words, you are lamenting for what is not worthy of grief. Bhagavad Gita 2.11. Similarly, among people in general, 99.9% try to talk like experienced advisors, but they are actually devoid of spiritual knowledge. There's kind of an echo here. And are therefore like inexperienced children speaking nonsensically. Consequently, their words cannot give any importance. One has to learn from Krishna or his devotee. If one speaks on the basis of this experience, that is, on the basis of spiritual knowledge, one's words are valuable. At the present moment, the entire world is full of foolish people. Bhagavad Gita describes these people as mudhas. They are trying to rule human society, but because they are devoid of spiritual knowledge, the entire world is in a chaotic condition. To be released from these miserable conditions, one has to become Krishna conscious and take lessons from an exalted personality like Jadabharat, Lord Krishna, and Kapila Dev. That is the only way to solve the problems of life. Translation: the Brahmin Jadabharat said, "My dear king, although you are not at all experienced, you are trying to speak like a very experienced man. Consequently, you cannot be considered an experienced person. An experienced person does not speak the way you are speaking about the relationship between a master and a servant, or about material pains and pleasures. These are simply external activities. Any advanced, experienced man, considering the absolute truth, does not talk in this way." Oma gyan timidandasya ginangina shilakaya chakshura militam dena tasmai sigadeve namaha. Shri Chaitanya manobistam stapitam yena bhutale shvayam rupakadamayam dadanti svapadantikam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivindam. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Mam Hrim Shom Om Param Tataka Hataka Kesha Gajalat. Bhadaka Lochana Bhadharaka Naka Sparsati Vasingha Namostate. So here we find a similar situation, which Srila Prabhupada refers to in Bhagavad Gita, that the Brahmana Jadabharat is chastising the king for speaking like an experienced person when in fact he is not. He is speaking spiritual knowledge, but because he does not practice spiritual knowledge, therefore he has no realization and his words are ineffective. Just like Prabhupada explained on many occasions, that there were many editions of Bhagavad Gita before he came to the Western countries. But because all of them missed the actual spirit of the Gita, which was surrender to Krishna, the purpose of Gita was not served. Manmana bhavamad bhakto majati mam namaskuru. Become my devotee, worship me, and offer your respects to me, your homage unto me, surely you will come to me. But when Bhagavad Gita was presented by a pure devotee of Krishna, with Krishna conscious realizations, those words penetrated the hearts of the conditioned souls and awoke Krishna consciousness from within the heart. So Jadabharat is chastising the king like this. You are speaking spiritual knowledge, but because you don't practice spiritual knowledge, therefore you have no realization and there's no effect. A similar reference can be made to Srila Prabhupada's formula for this Krishna conscious movement. Preaching as the essence, books are the basis, utility is the principle, and purity is the force. So we may have everything at our disposal. We may have the books, we may have the preaching facility, we may have the utility, but unless the purity is there, then actually we cannot touch the hearts of the people and awaken Krishna consciousness. So there's the jnana and there's the vijnana. There's the knowledge and then there's the realized knowledge. So by practicing Krishna consciousness, one gains realized knowledge. So this is an important point that Prabhupada one time stated. There are those who preach but do not act properly, and there are those who act properly but do not preach. He said the best is if someone acts properly, conducts himself properly, and preaches. Again, there are those who act properly but don't preach. And there are those who preach but don't act properly. So the proper combination is acting properly and preaching Krishna consciousness. Now Srila Prabhupada also takes the opportunity to challenge the materialists in this material world who talk like experienced advisors, but because they're devoid of spiritual knowledge, they're like inexperienced children speaking nonsense, and consequently their words cannot have any importance. And because they are acting as leaders in society, the whole world is in a chaotic situation. So this is the cheating propensity. Prabhupada described that of the four deficiencies of the conditioned soul, the imperfect senses, tendency to make mistakes, to come under illusion, and the cheating propensity. He said the cheating propensity, that is the most prominent. That people pose themselves as leaders in many different ways in human society, and people follow them. But these leaders have no real understanding of what is the goal of life or how to achieve it. So therefore, they're leading people into ignorance. Lead means to lead from darkness to light, from ignorance to truth, from Maya to Krishna. That is a position of a leader. So a leader must be Krishna conscious, because the ultimate goal of life is Krishna consciousness. So in every aspect we must be leading those who are dependent upon us to the platform of pure devotional service. But these persons have no goal, no knowledge of the goal of life. Therefore they're actually cheating. They have imperfect senses. They have a tendency to cheat. And a tendency to come under, or rather they have imperfect senses, ability to make mistakes, and come under illusion, but still they're posing themselves as leaders. So this is the cheating propensity. It's very prominent in the material world. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, it's a society of cheaters and cheated. And one time he said, material life means you put your head on my lap in confidence, and I cut your throat. So as leaders in the Krishna conscious movement, we must become pure. And all of us are leaders in our own right. We must become pure so that we can ensure that those who are depending upon us can actually achieve Krishna. We don't want to bring the cheating propensity into Krishna consciousness, to pose ourselves as authorities, but actually not to be capable of leading people to Krishna consciousness. So there are those persons in society. There was once a famous circus man in America. His name was Barnum and Bailey. And Barnum and Bailey, you know, he flagrantly stated, there's a sucker born every minute. So he was a cheater, and he didn't mind telling anyone that he was a cheater. He said, there's a sucker born every minute. I mean, he was a big businessman with a traveling circus, and he knew how to cheat people and get their money. So we must become free from all these deficiencies, especially the cheating propensity, which means to present myself as an authority, but not actually know what is the goal of life. So they are disqualified from being authorities for these various reasons, that they have imperfect senses, that they have a tendency to make mistakes and come under illusion. Whereas we are not acting on that principle. We are accepting knowledge through disciplic succession, and therefore that knowledge is perfect. We are not presenting ourselves or our own conclusions, but we are presenting the conclusions of Krishna and the disciplic succession. Therefore, it is perfect. Someone may say, how can you preach about God if you're not perfect yourself? But our qualification, our only qualification as devotees in this movement, is that we are presenting the conclusion of the disciplic succession, the Supreme Lord. Therefore, it will act. That is our qualification. So someone who is not situated within the disciplic succession, they have no right to say anything. But someone who is situated within disciplic succession, who is in this Krishna conscious movement, he has the right to say everything. That propensity to cheat is very strong. And Prabhupada would often elaborate on their position that they have imperfect senses, so how can they present real knowledge? Especially he's speaking about scientists, philosophers, and politicians, that they are trying to present knowledge, but their knowledge is imperfect. So one reason their knowledge is imperfect is because they're using imperfect senses, and they can come under illusion, and they make mistakes. It's very easy. Material energy is very tricky. Just like yesterday we visited the, what is it called? The Moped Museum? Huh?
Motet.
Motet. Oh yeah. So they have this scientific exhibition there where they show some of the basic workings of the material energy and how fascinating it is. And they had different like optical illusions which, you know, tricked one very easily. There was one sort of thing they had, there was a mirror, a two-way mirror, you could see through it, and two people would sit on either side and your vision would become equal with somebody else's, and then you would turn the light on and your face would merge into the face of the other person. It was a very eerie type of thing. I sat next to Bhava, and then Bhava and I became one, and it was hilarious for the children to see how we had become, you know, the features were there, but it was my nose and his eyes, and, you know, like that. So it was kind of funny. Then they had another optical illusion that you stood in front of a mirror, and when you lifted one leg, it looked like both legs were going up. So it appeared that you were off the ground. And this was just so funny for the children. But these were simple tricks, just with mirrors, you know. So one can be easily fooled. The senses are imperfect, and the illusions of we can be quite easily illusioned with our imperfect senses in this material world. That was easily seen yesterday, quite obviously seen. But with the same senses, people are trying to understand what is the absolute truth. So it's not possible. We have to actually approach a devotee of the Lord who is representing Krishna, and from that person we can understand what is the absolute truth. That is the only way. That is our only hope. One time we were sitting with Śrīla Prabhupāda, and Prabhupāda was explaining this principle that one can only know Krishna from Krishna's representative because the senses are imperfect. Tashi Krishna Nabari Nabaved Ganam Indriya Sevam Mukhe Jivado Swayameva Svaratya. No one can understand the transcendental name, form, fame, paraphernalia of the Supreme Lord with his materially contaminated senses. Only when the senses are saturated through bhakti or devotional service can one understand the Lord as he is. But of course the materialists are very obstinate. So they were arguing with Śrīla Prabhupāda. And finally, the man said, you know, just tell me then, what is the way I can understand the absolute truth? If you're saying that I'm wrong. So Prabhupada stuck out his foot. He said, you wash my feet and you will understand what is God. So this was... the person did not accept. So this is the point, that we can understand Krishna through the mercy of a devotee and no other way. We have the ability... within our hearts, well, we are spirit souls, so with our spiritual senses we can understand the Lord, but now those senses are covered, so they have to be awoken through the process of devotional service under the guidance of a devotee. Just like a young child cannot understand complicated mathematical problems, but the ability to understand is there in her heart, and in due course of time when she matures, then that intelligence will manifest, and you can explain to her, you know, algebra or trigonometry or quantum mechanics or whatever. But there's a process. So similarly, there's a process for understanding the absolute truth. That is to approach the devotee who has that knowledge. We cannot approach others. There was a book in France about 3 years ago that came out. And the title of this book was, Does God Exist? So this is typical of the French, who are great speculators. They pride themselves in their speculations. They asked a baker, a scientist, a housewife, a student at the Sorbonne, construction worker and a dentist about if God existed. So they're considering this as a very open approach and very liberal approach. So, of course, you know, the baker and the scientist and the housewife and the businessman and the construction worker all gave their different presentations. Does God exist? But this is all ludicrous, because what is their qualification? Just because someone's an expert businessman or an expert baker doesn't mean he can speak on the science of the absolute truth. But this is the position in our present day and age. Everyone is thinking himself authority, and everyone is speaking. But we must know who is the proper authority that we must approach. If you actually want to know about business, there's so many good businessmen that you can know. Just like we have our Peter Ho. He's a very expert businessman. He manages $50 million a year, and now he's going to be helping us manage our $5. So no one should feel uncomfortable. He's quite capable of doing it. But this is the point. We, you know, we had a hard time organizing our structure. We were trying to get it together, and we didn't know what to do. And, you know, Bubba's a good teacher, but maybe he's not a good businessman. And, you know, different devotees have different qualifications. But despite all our qualifications, when it came to, you know, organizing our money, we just weren't getting it together. So as soon as we found the right man, everything fell in place. Everything fell in place. Similarly, we have our devotees who know about farming, and we have our different... So one may approach the proper individual for understanding the particular subject matter. But if one wants to know God, evam parampara praptam imam rajasayo vidu, one must approach the disciplic succession. You can't approach a businessman or this or that. But everything is topsy-turvy in Kali Yuga, that those who have no qualifications, they present themselves as authority on everything. Actually, they're authority on nothing. But they present themselves as authority in everything, and therefore there's a chaotic situation. So the conclusion of this book was left up to the minds of the reader, because some of the presentations in the book, the people were complete atheists. Some of them were believing in God, whatever the case may be, but the conclusion was left up to the reader. But just like if we need medical help, then we're going to try to find a qualified doctor, and not just any doctor. Just like there was perhaps a need that I had a sinus operation. So the doctor offered to do it. But, you know, I saw that he was a kind of, didn't appear to be very expert. I looked at his medical cabinet when he was out taking a phone call, and it was all dirty. And there were old surgical gloves in there. And I was thinking, you know, I'm not going to have this guy do an operation on me. So I sent a fax to Mother Madre, and I asked her to find a qualified doctor. So she found the most qualified doctor in Auckland for sinus operation. Fortunately, I didn't have to have it. But that's the point. We have to find who is that person who's most qualified. And that person who's most qualified is a devotee of the Lord. As Krishna says, because you are my friend, as well as my devotee, you can understand the transcendental the nature of this Krishna consciousness. So that person we have to know. So therefore we have to know actually what is the Lord and what is his bona fide representative. Otherwise one can be cheated. Just like we were speaking yesterday over at Baba's house about the transcendental meditation people. They're cheating people like anything. They don't know what is the goal of life. They don't know what is the process. But they're very expertly cheating people. They're taking a course. You can take a course from them now on Ayurvedic medicine. Fundamental principles of Ayurvedic medicine, but that course lasts 4 weeks and costs $40,000. $40,000. So people are actually looking for spiritual knowledge. They're sincere. Well, they appear to be sincere, but they've come in contact with this rascal who's charging them $40,000 for understanding Ayurvedic medicine. And they're building their world headquarters now in Wellington. So the idea is that we must present to people Bhagavad Gita as it is and Śrīla Prabhupāda so they can have the proper choice. Prabhupāda told a story one time. He said once there was a young boy, and this boy heard that gold was very valuable. So he had quite a lot of money. He thought, let me change my paper money into gold because it's of more worth, it will last longer. So he had $10,000. So he began going around inquiring from everyone if they could sell him some gold. So he went downtown, he went from shop to shop, and he went to the hardware shop, and he went to the grocer, and he went here and there, and of course none of these people had gold. He happened to stumble across a shop where they sell fuel and coal. So he came in and he told the person behind the counter, I have $10,000, I would like to exchange it for gold. Could you please help me? So the man said, ah, yes, no problem. He said, just what are you looking for? He said, I'm not exactly sure, but, you know, I have confidence in you that you'll help me. So the man pulled out a big chunk of coal and put it on the table. The black dust came up and everything. And then, so the man said, here it is, gold, most valuable thing, much better than your paper money. So the boy, because he did not know what was gold, he didn't know what he was searching for, then he paid the price. He paid $10,000 for a 50-cent lump of coal and walked away cheated. So that's actually one reason we're distributing these books all over the world, to give people a standard, an authorized standard of what is spiritual life. Prabhupada said, when you speak, at least in India, when you're speaking in India, when speaking in learned circles, you may be a very expert Muni, but your conclusion or your knowledge is only accepted if it's in reference to the Shastra. So that is why Prabhupada said, by distributing these books all over the world, we're establishing the authority of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. One day these books will become gospel, and what people will say, if it's spiritual, is it in relationship to this, to the Bhagavad Gita as it is? Right now people don't know. Therefore they can be cheated by Guru Maharaj, they can be cheated by Maharishi Yogi, they can be cheated by the Rajneesh. But when it becomes a standard thing, then there's no longer any debate. It's just, is it in reference to this? Just like weights and measures. There's weights and measures, there's calculations, or meters, or whatever calculation, pints or liter, whatever you may use, whatever system you are using, that is a standard system and everything relates to that. Whatever recipes you may be using, you have to follow the weights and measures system as it is given on the standard market. So in the same way, now, at this point, you know, it's up for debate. What is the absolute truth? What is the real process? But if, like in the Indian civilization, the Vedic civilization, we can establish the authority of the Vedic scriptures and the Guru Parampara, then people they won't have an opportunity to be cheated. So that Prabhupada stated one time, that is why we're distributing these books all over the world, to establish what is the proper authority. And if and when a person is interested in understanding the absolute truth, you know, he may not be interested, therefore he won't take shelter. But if he is interested, he'll know where to come. To the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So we have to establish the movement in that way. And not only, as we mentioned in the beginning, establish the Krishna Conscious movement and the authority of it, but we must also be experienced. You are speaking like an experienced man, Jada Bharat says, but you cannot actually be considered an experienced man. So there's the Bhagavad and there's the book Bhagavad. We have the foundation of the Vedic literatures, and we need the pure representatives, the book Bhagavad. And that combination is perfect. When we have the authority of the Vedic scriptures and we have the devotee who is practicing those scriptures, the effect is that a person who takes shelter can become Krishna conscious. That is the idea. So I have quite a lot to do today. I have to leave. So I'll end there, unless there's any questions or comments. These points, yes, Barry?
The way Acharya, one of the people like that, I was born in management and society, is an example.
Example is higher than precept. That is one way of putting it. But both should be there. The precept should be there and the example will be there. Just like in the Christian church, for example, the precept is there, but because the example is not there, the whole thing is falling apart. So again, as we said earlier, there are those who preach but don't follow, and those who are follow but don't preach. So the proper combination is to preach and be a perfect example. So that goes for anything. Management or whatever the case may be. Yes? That's also true. I mean, Prabhupada is the most perfect, and we are far from the goal, but we're repeating Prabhupada's message, his transcendental message, which is pure. So therefore, we're delivering the message, and the effect is there. The Prabhupada said it's best to hear Krishna consciousness from the lips of a devotee of the Lord, a pure devotee of the Lord. So it's always beneficial to hear, but if we become more realized, then the potency of that message is increased. The shlak shuka. Shuka means parrot. The fruit is already sweet, but when it's touched by the lips of the beak of a shuka, a parrot, he emits a certain type of saliva within that fruit. And that fruit becomes even sweeter. So the message is always potent, but it becomes more potent when it's spoken by a devotee. So we shouldn't fear preaching because we may not be qualified, because the message is potent. We're telling people, we're repeating Srila Prabhupada, chant Hare Krishna, read these books. So they're doing it, they're getting the benefit. But the more pure that we become, the more potent that message is, and the more that we will inspire them in Krishna consciousness. Is that okay? Well, I've heard both explained, that those who want to be cheated, they're led to a cheater. Prabhupada has said that. But at the same time, he's also described the innocent mass of people who are being exploited by the bogus leaders. So for the cheaters, we can let them be cheated. Like we said yesterday, there are those that even you try to wake them up, they remain asleep. Whereas if someone's actually asleep, you can wake them up. But if they're pretending to be asleep, they actually want to be cheated, then no matter what you say, they won't surrender. But then again, there are those who are innocent. And unfortunately, they're being led astray. So that's why we have to feel an urgency to preach. These other groups are growing rapidly. They're growing very quickly. I mean, you know, they're charging $40,000 and people are paying that for nonsense. Better they pay the $40,000 for the real thing. If they want to pay $40,000, we'll be glad to engage them. Yes? That's true. That's why we don't see so many people joining the movement, because the standard's very high. If you go downtown, you go to the bakery, you'll see, you know, heaps of people in line because it's cheap bread. But at the jewelry shop, there's just a few people purchasing things over the counter because it's quite expensive. So the standards are quite high in Krishna consciousness. So that's also a fact that many people don't surrender because they want sense gratification. But then again, there are those who are sincere, who have been led astray. And, you know, some movements are also practicing certain types of regulative principles and great austerities. But all for naught. So we have to get there first. One time Prabhupada said in a lecture, he said, practically speaking, it's whoever gets there first. It's whoever gets there first. I had that experience many times in opening temples in Europe, that if some others, when we first came, you know, and we established a temple, say in Barcelona or Malaga or Florence or something, then, you know, immediately so many people would come forward, and out of that, you know, many would join. But if we happened to come after the fact, after another spiritual group had opened up a temple or something, or a center, then it was really hard to get to people. It was hard to entrain them. because they had so many misconceptions. So Prabhupada said, practically speaking, it's whoever gets there first. Because the people are innocent, and they may approach us with naivety, but still they get the result. In their naivety, they may approach the bogus group. Because they had so many misconceptions. So Prabhupada said, practically speaking, it's whoever gets there first. Because the people are innocent, and they may approach us with naivety, but still they get the result. In their naivety, they may approach the bogus group and be cheated, but in their naivety, they may come and may not really understand what is Krishna consciousness, but because they have some spiritual inclination, then they get the benefit of coming. So that's why we have to go and preach everywhere as soon as possible. Yes? Sanatana Goswami had to be a little diplomatic to get out of jail. So Prabhupada mentions when you're dealing with these type of people, diplomacy is sometimes necessary. We have to be expert. I'll tell you something very confidential. I promise you won't tell anyone. Don't quote this, you know. When I was in Fiji, Jagannath Das, I was speaking, because they have many businesses there. And, you know, I saw how he was wheeling and dealing. And he was kind of smiling. He said, it's for Krishna. We use the money for printing books. So then we were talking about that principle, just like you asked. He told me an interesting story. He said that Prabhupada came to visit Fiji one time. And while he was there, he took a tour of the businesses. So he went into one big shop of the devotees, you know, grocery shop. And in the back of the shop, it was all liquor. So Jagannath didn't really want Prabhupada to see that, but Prabhupada took the wrong turn. And, you know, suddenly he was in front of all these vodka bottles and Jim Beam and everybody, you know, all these, you know, I was looking. So Jagannath became a complete anxiety. So later that night, he went into Prabhupada's room and he said, Prabhupada, you know, about the liquor, he said, you know, should we get rid of that section? He said, I just wanted to tell you, Prabhupada, that's most of our revenue comes in from that. Most of our sales are coming from liquor. So, you know, should we stop? And Prabhupada said, so how much is coming? He said, so much. And Prabhupada said, oh. So Prabhupada said, just make sure you give 50% to the book fund. So don't quote me on that. That's really time and circumstance. And certainly if we could make our Lakshmi in the most honest way, that would be good. But this is an emergency situation, and people are dying. They're having spiritual deaths, and they're being taken to hell by their senses and bogus cheaters. So, you know, we may need some time. That's the principle of paraphernalia. You know, we're not giving them, you know, we're giving them, instead of Baba Gita, we're giving them a Hong Kong painting. But that money, which would have been used for sinful activity and dragged them to hell, is now being used in a service of Shishi Radha Giridhari, so they get the benefit. It's like some people challenge, you know, you're killing plants. But the plant, you know, the cauliflower who ends up on Radha Krishna's plate, you know, who knows the benefits for that cauliflower? It would have taken him lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes to become a human being, and then his chances of coming in contact with Krishna consciousness, I mean, so small. But, you know, off with your head as a cauliflower on the plate, you know. And then he gets great spiritual advancement. So paraphernalia does have agyata sukriti. If you go and you say, my dear sir, Radha Krishna Bol, Nam Kai Bol Re, chant Hare Krishna, you're wasting, get out of here. But, purchase from my shop, or take like this, Agyata Sukriti. They get the benefit. So sometimes we have to be a little bit diplomatic. Sanatana Goswami was no fool, Prabhupada said. He was an administrator in the government, so he knew how to deal with these type of people. So he told the jailkeeper, you tell him I went to relieve myself on the banks of the river and I fell in and drowned. And I'll give you 10,000 gold coins. I think he said 5,000 at first, and he hesitated and he gave him 10,000. So he probably said the devotees are like this, they have to be a little bit diplomatic. Not with the idea to cheat, but to engage people. Just like Narada Muni once had a disciple who was a cobra. And cobras, of course, like to bite. So at the initiation ceremony, he said, so what are the principles? So the cobra said, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. And then Narada Muni said, and what else? Just like sometimes you see at initiations, and what else? Reading 1 hour, Guru Maharaj. Or chanting 25 rounds of the codicil, Something extra will be added, an extra touch there. So then Narada Muni said, yes, and no biting people. So the cobra, he didn't bite anybody. But naturally, when everyone would see it, when they heard the cobra was now no longer biting, that was great fun for the village children. So they'd take sticks and they'd beat him and they'd throw stones at him and ridicule him and make fun of him and everything. So the cobra, when Narada Muni came back, one day the cobra approached and said, Guru Maharaj, you told me not to bite, but everybody's beating me with stones and sticks, and what am I supposed to do? So Narada Muni said, well, just, make a show of biting. He said, I said you couldn't bite, but I didn't say you couldn't make a show of biting. So in the same way, we're very humble, submissive Vaishnavas, but sometimes in dealing with these people, we have to make a certain show in order to impress them or to get them to practice Krishna consciousness. That principle, Chanaka Pandit's principles are moral ethics, basically applying to mundane society. And sometimes in dealing with mundane society, we must employ those same techniques. But certainly in Krishna consciousness, the opposite is true. That the real qualification is straightforwardness. In our dealings, we have to be straightforward. That principle may be there. In dealing with materialistic people, but we have to be very careful. To get unlocked, we don't want to be thinking, well, if I'm straight in Krishna consciousness, I'll get cut down, and if I'm crooked, I'll make it. So we have to know where to apply the principle. So that a principle, Chanaka Pandit. What did Prabhupada say about Chanaka Pandit? That he was. So one devotee said he was a great devotee, and Prabhupada said, no, he was not a great devotee. He was a great logician or something like this. Sage moralist, yes. He wasn't a pure devotee. Yes? By being diplomatic, I don't say that we should be demoniac. Man's glory lies in his common sense, said Bhaktivinoda Thakura. So these things are common sense. That we might have to be a little diplomatic sometimes, that I think devotees can understand, but that we shouldn't be totally dishonest and cheat people and sell things which are like that, that it's quite obvious. Yes?
Because
It's not that because we're distributing books, we're safer than distributing paraphernalia. If one understands the goal of the activity, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you give away in charity should be done as an offering for me.
In that example of St. James Maharaj, the Pundit Brothers were already in business before I became the Brahmin. They had the license for the visit to the Golden Temple, and they agreed that I would give that license away to somebody else and somebody else to themselves.
Right. I'll tell you the modern episode. They approached Tamal Krishnamaraj with the same question, told him the history. And they said, should they give it up? And Tamal, who was very much in the mood of Srila Prabhupada, as far as preaching, he said, maybe after we build our temple. Well, you know how the Ranganath temple was built? You know that story? You know, that man, that humble Brahman, he wanted to build a temple for Ranganath. And he went to all the businessmen, please give a small donation to help. What do I need God for? He said, I'm a successful businessman. And God also has everything, so let's let it like that. No need for a temple. So then, you know, he was so desirous that he employed dacoits. And these dacoits, just like, this must have been the original Robin Hood, they stole from the spiritually poor, or rather spiritually, they stole from the rich and gave to the poor. And they built this beautiful Ranganath temple. And, you know, those rich merchants would get robbed on the way. And then, you know, because they didn't want to give their money, those thieves took that money anyway. And then they gave it to the Brahmin, and the Brahmin built the temple. Actually, a Sankirtan devotee knows the principle that he's engaging the conditioned soul. So whether he's able to give direct knowledge, or he's able to engage him in a gacha sukriti, he's fired up under any circumstance. Well, if it's an instruction and if you can see directly how the money's going to, for instance, build the temple here, and that temple will... I'll give you an example. In South Africa, they struggled for 5 years to build that temple, and a lot of devotees lost faith because so much money was being collected and was going into the temple. But now you meet those devotees, and they're so fired up because that temple brings in a minimum of 5,000 people a week. Of course, the balance always has to be there. Along with that paraphernalia, there should be book distribution and preaching and everything. Prabhupada said paraphernalia is all right if it's not at the expense of preaching. That was the original principle when we started doing the Change of Heart album, which is perhaps one of our first paraphernalias. They asked Prabhupada, okay, and Prabhupada said, if it does not decrease from the preaching, that is, if it assists the preaching, it does not decrease from the preaching. So, you know, we have to be careful to use the money in the right way. But, you know, those devotees were being discouraged. But now those devotees, they're the ones that, you know, are sitting in the Radharadana Temple of Understanding, you know, engaging those 5,000 people a week. When I was president there, I couldn't believe it. You know, all day long, there were tours of 20, 30 people going through that building, looking at pictures of Krishna, buying books, and taking prasadam in the restaurant. And, you know, that's every day times 365. What's that? Well, no, excuse me. I'd say about maybe around... Well, we calculated 5,000 a week. So what is 52 times 5,000? A quarter of a million. That's just tourist groups. It was built from the Hong Kong paintings. From, what's his name? What's one of those signatures on the painting that's so common? Huh? G. Whitman. It was built by Mr. Whitman. Huh? Yes.
Yeah.
Preach to them. Explain the difference. You know, I'm not going to give you like a magic word, say, poof! And, oh, thank you very much. Now it's all really clear to me, you know? I mean, look at the Bhagavad Gita. It was, you know, it was an intense discourse. Arjuna was in illusion. He was in Maya, you know. And then, you know, Krishna preached to him and from all angles of vision and convinced them with analogy and this and that. If they have no intelligence, just like we were with Prabhupada another time in Darshan, and there was a big argument going on. In the end, Yogeshwar said to the boy who was arguing with Prabhupada, "So you're defeated." I was obvious to everyone but the boy. He said, "No, I'm not. I'm not defeated." You know, everyone agreed he was defeated, you know. So Prabhupada said, "All right, prasadam." So the boy relaxed. And he was so nervous, they brought him this plate of prasadam. And he ate one plate. Then he said, "Can I have some more?" Then he ate two plates. "Can I have some more?" He ate four plates of prasadam, sitting with Srila Prabhupada. And while that was going on, Prabhupada looked over at Yogeshwara and didn't say anything. I saw this. He looked at Yogeshwara and he went. And Yogeshwara went. Which meant he was defeated. We couldn't defeat him with philosophy, we defeated him with prasadam. So if they're intelligent, then defeat them with, I mean, that's what we have, that's why we have Sadaputta and Rasaraj and His Holiness Swarup Damodar Maharaj. You know, because they have some intelligence. And those of us who don't have very much intelligence, then, you know, we can distribute prasadam, generate Krishna, get some books out. But if you have some intelligence, then, you know, use it like that. Go to that level, the scientist, you know. So people, they can be convinced. I mean, there's a little truthfulness left in this age. There's no mercy, there's no austerity, and there's no cleanliness. But in Kali Yuga, there's still a little truthfulness left. So we can take advantage of that when we present. You'll see many people, you've experienced many times yourself. I say, "Oh yes, that makes sense, that makes sense." So then they surrender. Was another question? Just keep chanting, that'll all go away. In San Francisco, in the Haight-Ashbury, Prabhupada was giving a lecture and explaining the effects of the chanting. So then one girl said, "You know, wow, it's true. You know, when I chant, I see this red light and sparks and everything." You know? So, you know, Prabhupada said, "Just keep chanting, it'll all go away. Don't worry." Now you're under Prabhupada's shelter. So don't worry about those other things. Whatever effects were there as a result of those relationships are dissipated by taking shelter of Prabhupada's lotus feet. Anyway, takes two, you know, if you're holding, you have to hold somebody's hand. In other words, not just one person holding your hand, when you're holding their hand. So if they don't want to let go, then you let go. Just like there was once a disciple who approached his guru. And he said, "Guru Maharaj," he said, "Maya is so strong." And Guru said, "Yes, yes. She's so strong she just won't let go of me. You know, she's just holding on to me and I want to surrender, but she just won't let go." the guru said, come here tomorrow morning. So the next morning, the disciple came, and the guru was holding onto a big tree. Let me go, let me go. Let me go, you rascal, let me go. So the disciple said, Guru Maharaj, is everything all right? Yeah, the tree won't let me go. So then, but Guru Maharaj, the tree's not holding you, you're holding the tree. And immediately the guru let go, and he turned around and said, yes. And Maya's not holding you, but you are holding Maya. Now you let go. Yes, Guru Maharaj, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. I'm free, I'm free. So don't worry, whatever they say. Yes, they may be holding on, but if you let go, what can they do? Just like the balloon is carrying you up, 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 up. You know, it's so strong. Just let go. Bye-bye. So now you know where to take shelter. So you hold on to those two lotus feet, and you'll always be safe. Even if you can't hold on, he'll hold on to you. That's the mercy of a Vaishnava. Even we can't hold on. They'll hold on tight, and they'll take us with them. So now you're safe. I think we'll end there because I have to leave in the early afternoon. And I have to see some devotees and do a few things. So I'd like to take the opportunity to thank everyone for their wonderful association. And I'm looking forward to coming back in October. And if I've committed any offenses, knowingly or unknowingly, please forgive me. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Grantara Śrīmad Bhagavatam ki, Gaura Prema Nandi.
Yeah.